Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hey there.
I hope everybody's doing great. I am.
Me too.
Awesome. I'm Shayla.
I'm Terry.
And we are Show Me Scares.
It's Super Bowl Sunday.
It is. Well, I mean, when they listen, it's going to be day after Monday. So you guys know what we do not know.
I'm so excited, though.
I am excited, too. We get to spend Super Bowl with my family, and we haven't got to do that ever. So, yay.
Good times.
Yeah. And don't worry about us having a super spreader event because these are people we're around all the time. So if we were going to get anything from them,
we would have.
And also, Terry's completely vaccinated and I'm halfway there. So
your brother's feeling it right now. He just got his second shot.
Yeah. So
poor guy. Think
of Bradley. He's probably better by Monday. But
he's had a rough weekend.
He's had a rough weekend after getting that second shot. So anyway, we have a murder to talk about, which I promised last week. So I'm going to stick to that.
Well, look at you.
Sometimes I follow through. Rarely I follow through.
As long as it's not to do Facebook posting, you follow through.
Yeah, that's true. I'm terrible at social media. I'm like 92. I don't know why I can't understand social media. I understand it.
The only reason why you get on Facebook is for the news, you old ass.
It's true.
It's horrible.
I'm old.
Don't even listen to the news. It's sad.
It's sad. But like, if something's going to affect me, I need to know about it, you know, 3 years ahead of time so that I'm prepared.
God.
Oh, anyway. We're going to talk about Ernest and Gertie Reed.
Gertie.
Her name was Amanda Gertrude Reed.
Poor girl.
Yeah. So, Ernest and Gertie Reed came to Carthage, Missouri from Kansas around 1899.
Wow, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute. About a year later, in the spring of 1900, the couple were involved in a dispute that could not be settled.
How can you not settle a dispute, though?
Well, I don't
know. Stubborn.
Yeah, probably. Gertie left Ernest, saying she could no longer live with him.
Must have been a hell of a dispute.
Yeah. She became a live-in housekeeper for a white family in Carthage. Ernest was devastated by Gertie leaving him. So he went to the Carthage Square and ate some rough-on-rats to kill himself.
Ate some what?
Rough-on-rats. Rat poison.
Wow, what a way to die.
Yeah.
Or to try to die. Like, ugh.
He was, of course, discovered by policemen and doctors were able to save his life. So
thanks a lot, doctors.
Really, I'm thinking, did he really try to kill himself? He went to the square to do it.
So he went public.
Yes. So, you know, I'm a big advocate for suicide prevention and all of that. Definitely mental health, 100%. But I think there are people who like to seek attention that way. And I don't think that that's a majority by any means. I think this is where I'm going with that. I don't think that that's like necessarily something.
If somebody in his case wanted to really kill himself, he would have done it privately. Not where people could save him.
Yeah. And I think there's different, I mean, of course, there's different ways that people commit this, but he was in no way, I don't think, trying to actually kill himself.
He made sure
he was in a place where people would find him quickly and get him help and he would survive it. And then he could say to her, see, you almost killed me by leaving me. Like, that's what this feels like. This does not feel like someone who's actually depressed and trying to kill themselves. Like, I'm not buying this one.
Okay.
He probably needed some mental health help, I'm sure.
That sounds like it.
But a black man in 1900 is probably not going to get mental health care at all. So, sadly, because that probably could have helped what happens. Gertie received her pay from her employers at the end of each week. And guess who always came around to visit her on payday?
Her ex.
Ernest. Eventually, Gertie came to realize that Ernest was just gambling away all of the money that she was giving him.
Why is she giving him money whenever they're separated?
Because he's still her husband.
Oh, that's so wrong. Mm.
But when she realized this, she cut him off.
Good girl.
Yeah. About this time, she also switched jobs. She moved in with a black family to work with them. Their names were the Wyatts. Ernest was mad at Gertie for cutting him off, and he started to threaten her life if she didn't give him more money.
Wow, this took another turn.
Right? He seems like a stand-up guy. I don't know. Ernest visited the Wyatt home on Sunday, June 17th, 1900. He stayed for dinner with the family, but it didn't take long for the estranged couple to begin arguing.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do best, apparently.
What does he do for a living? Did you ever say?
I didn't see what he did for a living.
Live off her?
Seems that way.
Mm.
Before leaving the Wyatts, Ernest threatened to kill Gertie if she did not come back to him. So now he's threatening her for her money and her
whole. Her life.
Yeah. The next Tuesday, June 19th, Ernest entered a secondhand store in Carthage and asked to see the pistols available for rent.
For rent? Interesting.
Yeah. So he pawned some of his clothing as collateral and rented the gun for 25 cents for the day.
Wow.
He instructed his younger brother, Ben, to call on Gertie and tell her their brother and cousin were visiting and wanted to see her before they left. He said they would be at the train depot for departure at 8:30 p.m. and asked that Ben have Gertie there at that time to see them.
Oh, no.
He would change his clothes after work and meet them there. When Ben came for Gertie, Mrs. Wyatt urged her not to go. Please don't go.
Was up.
This guy's been threatening you. Do not leave and go meet him. She tried and tried and tried, but Gertie assured her she would be fine, and she left with young Ben. Gertie and Ben made the short half-mile walk to the depot and waited. When the party hadn't shown up at 8:45, they decided to leave. Ernest Reed met them as they were coming out the door. Ernest said that the relatives must have just decided to stay another night, and they should instead go to the residence where they were staying and visit them there. So they wouldn't have to do this all again the next day when they were actually going to leave. Both Gertie and Ben first just refused to go with Ernest. No, it's 8:45. It's time to go to bed. I'm not doing it. But he was able to convince them eventually to go along with him. The trio made their way toward the home of the relatives. Ben soon got quite a ways ahead of the couple. Ernest seemed to be in a very good mood, and he was even acting lovingly toward his wife.
Weird.
But of course, this soon changed, and the couple were in a heated argument.
Good grief.
Yes. The argument became violent when Ernest grabbed Gertie by the wrist. He screamed at her, saying she didn't want to go to church with him or allow him to take her uptown. He also said she was ashamed of him and never wanted to be seen with him.
Well, yeah, do you blame her?
No. He told her that the story about the relative's visit was all a lie because the only way he could get her to leave the Wyatt's house to see him was to trick her.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Gertie was crying, begging him to let her go, but instead he reached into his pocket, withdrew the pistol, and shot her in the leg, causing her to fall to her knees.
Oh my gosh.
Ernest loosened his grip and Gertie fled from him. As she was running away, Ernest fired three more shots, two hitting Gertie in the back. She was badly wounded, but she did not stop running.
Get it, girl.
Shot in the leg and twice in the back. She kept going.
This woman's tough.
Yeah. Ben helped her to the Wyatt home.
Now, Ben's her brother or his brother?
His brother.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
So they got in this argument, this big heated argument. What was the argument over?
I don't know. You tell me.
What could have gotten so heated that he pulled out a gun and shot her? He seems to have been planning to do it anyway, obviously. But what argument could have gotten to this point? The argument was over a picture.
What?
Yes. Ernest had a picture of Gertie, and she had asked for it back. He accused her of wanting to give it to another boarder at the Wyatt house named Sims.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
So, he's jealous, thinks she's wanting to give this picture. Here's the picture.
Wow.
Isn't she pretty?
For sure.
She's really pretty. So, it's a picture of Gertie, and she's just...
It's probably the only picture she had of herself, though, too.
Probably.
You know.
Ernest Reed turned back and walked toward town. On his way, he told several people someone had shot a woman back there, pointing in the direction he was coming from. He told another person that a black man had shot a woman, and another that someone had shot his wife.
Well, if that don't say, hey, I just shot my wife, I don't know what does.
Word spread, and two policemen were dispatched to the Wyatt home. Gertie and Ben told them the full story.
Gertie's still alive.
Yes. She's tough. And as the officers were leaving, they met Ernest Reed coming toward the Wyatt home. He was still carrying the pistol when they took him into custody with the spent shells.
He's bright. This guy's brilliant.
He confessed to shooting Gertie, saying something to the effect of that he had made up his mind that he'd rather kill her than have her live with someone else.
Jeez.
Yeah. Possessive much? Gertie spent the night in immense pain, and by morning, doctors said her chance of survival was not good.
Oh, no.
The prosecutor's office sent a clerk, along with the city marshal, to the Wyatt home to transcribe her statement of the events. So they sit with her. She tells what happened. They transcribe it into a statement, and then they leave that statement with her, instructing her to sign it when death is close, if at that point... she still wanted to swear to that statement.
What? What?
Mm-hmm.
That's awkward.
I think it's awkward, too.
Why does it have to be when death is close?
I don't know.
Why can't she just sign it? Because, hey, that's what really happened.
Yeah. Around 1 a.m. the next night, June 21st, Gertie asked for the paper.
Oh, no.
She signed it in pencil, and in her own writing at the bottom, she added, "This is my testimony. He shot me on purpose." She was dead within an hour after signing her statement.
Okay, my heart just broke.
That just is eerie to me that she was like, okay, I'm about to die.
Oh, so she knew she was fixing to die, yeah.
She waited all that time.
Until an hour
before she asked for it.
How did she know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's doctors there and they're like, you better sign it now. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's eerie that within an hour she signed it of her death, I mean. Ernest's murder trial took place November 1900 in Carthage, Missouri. The prosecution had a strong case with the statement from Gertie herself, but also all the people that Ernest talked to right after he shot his wife, they all just lined up and came. And there was dozens that he was just like, hey, somebody shot somebody. Hey, there's a black man shooting a woman up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all these people just come in and say, yeah, he said some guy shot his wife right up here. And so,
oh my God.
Yeah,
it's like a billboard flashing sign. Me, uh-huh, I did it.
Pretty much. Ernest Reed took the stand in his own defense, which is always smart, right? What was his defense? What could it be? He'd confess to it.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Well, he said he shot his wife in the heat of the moment. So he's going for second degree murder. With no premeditation. That's what he's trying to say here. He said that when he asked her why she wanted the photo back, she told him that she planned to give it to Sims and snatched it out of his hand. Yeah. Infuriated, he drew the gun and fired without thinking. The verdict was reached on November 16th, 1900. Guilty. The first two ballots cast had 2 to 3 people that wanted to acquit.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You got me. The jury, from what I understand, and you'll see that later, was instructed on first-degree murder only. They were not given the option of second-degree murder, which was his whole defense. So maybe the 2 or 3 that were holdouts were...
feeling sorry for him?
Were saying, it could have been second-degree murder. I can't say he's guilty of first-degree murder, but you won't give me the option to say second, so...
Yeah, but he purchased the gun and...
mm-hmm. Which is interesting rented. That you bring up, because the other defense witness was the one that he purchased the gun for or from. Defense witness. Because apparently, and this did not make it into anything, but apparently he had a story as to why Ernest bought the gun that did not have anything to do with killing his wife, but his testimony was not allowed.
Interesting.
And I would say it's probably because there's no point. The fact that he got a gun and created this ruse to get her out directly after getting the gun and then shot her with said gun speaks to why
anything
he got the gun.
Anything else is going to be a lie.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I can tell you anything when I go buy a gun. I want to go shoot some rats.
I'm a stranger.
Rats.
I mean, yeah.
So it doesn't... I'd say that's why it wasn't allowed. But anyway... the verdict was guilty of first-degree murder when the jury finally agreed. He was sentenced to hang in January of 1901. His attorneys appealed to the Supreme Court, saying that the jury should have been given the option of second-degree murder.
I don't agree.
Well, I don't either.
You're struggling.
Because it's clear, it's clearly premeditation, right? It's there. But...
and I'd rather her die than spend it with somebody else.
Exactly.
Right there is something saying he's been thinking about
it. It's very good that you said that, because the Supreme Court upholds the lower court's decision on that right there. In May of 1901, they upheld the decision saying the purchase of the gun and the admission right after, saying that statement there, showed clear premeditation.
Yes.
The execution was scheduled for June 7th. The governor would grant 2 respites, with the final execution date scheduled for July 5th.
Well, they granted what?
Respites.
What does
that
mean?
Extending the time until his death.
Oh, okay. Oh,
now,
well,
something
I don't
interesting,
know if that's good or not.
Yeah. But something interesting that I want to bring up. They asked him to, and this is going to get very... sensitive, and we have really tried to stay away from, because of our racial climate right now, stay away from anything race related, just to not bring anything that could be negative into, because Missouri's past is so negative when it comes to race, just not to bring anything like that into our show. But this case, we kind of need to, and here's why. They asked him to sit for a photo while he was in jail. One of the newspapers did. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because it had become kind of a thing to parade these photos around of black men after they had been burned at the stake or lynched. And so he said, I'm not going to be a side freak show like what you do to black men
right.
who have been executed. So no, thank you. I will not do that. And then something else that happened at the same time, in the same article I was reading about that, when they filed for the second respite, his attorneys came to him and asked him, are you sure that it's necessary for us to file for another stay of execution, or you want to just go ahead and die now?
What?
Yes.
I've never heard that before in a case.
No, me either. And that's why I want to say it, because I don't think a white man would have been asked that question. And that just, I mean, I was shocked
that
reading
irritates
it.
Me.
Yes, I couldn't believe that I was reading it. Like,
I mean, yeah, he's a monster for shooting his wife, yes, but you got that.
I have never seen that in another case before, and maybe I've missed it and I'm just reading too much into it, but I really felt like, oh my God, I've never seen a white That's man awful. Ask that question. Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there, that was a very odd thing that I read in reading the papers on this case, that he was asked that question. And he told his attorneys, no, you keep me alive as long as you
can. For sure.
So, and they did. But the final execution was scheduled for July 5th.
Same year?
Yes. 1901.
So it's only a month after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just got 4 weeks with both respites mm-hmm. together. So the scaffold was built right outside his jail window. Which like seems always. To be the yeah. thing.
It's like just taunting you.
The press was just took notice to the fact that that would have been very difficult for him, but he didn't seem to notice that he was very cool, calm.
He's very a weird strong. Guy. I feel like.
Yes, I think so. There was a parade for the 4th of July, obviously, right? And the band came by the jailhouse. Ernest was allowed out on the lawn, and he requested they play Old Kentucky Home for him. According to the reports, this was the only time he showed any sort of emotion, as he stood there with tears streaming down his cheeks while the song played.
Aww. I mean, I don't want to feel sorry for him because he killed his wife, but yeah. It's still crazy.
The papers reported, it's fine. No, the papers reported that he was cool and quiet and never showed any fear, which, quote, won him the admiration of all who witnessed it. Admiration for a man who shot his wife in the back.
Twice.
I have a problem with that. Ernest spent the last morning of his life singing and praying with spiritual advisors, and he was led to the scaffold at 10 a.m. Ernest made a statement on the scaffold. He said, "I came out here to die like a man." He said a few other things, and he thanked all of those that had been kind to him.
Some man, though, shoot your wife in the back, your hard-working mm-hmm. wife.
Who was supporting your lazy ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Carthage Evening Press said this. He was cool and brave to the last.
Brave.
Brave.
Okay, I don't like these words.
Me either. The trap was sprung at 9:10, and death was called 7 minutes after, with the body being cut down immediately and taken to be prepared for burial in Park Cemetery.
They didn't bury him next to his wife, did they?
I don't know. I couldn't find their graves. But
probably.
I don't know. I read a few other stories about the case, and they all seemed to talk about how brave he was, how upstanding he was the whole time he was incarcerated. But they also said, this one's going to get you. The one, at least, that I read talked about how devoted he had remained to his wife. That he had killed. Let me remind you. So, I'm like, why would they say something like that?
I don't know. They're using these words that I would never put on a person who shot their wife in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, brave and devoted. What? No.
Why would he seem devoted to his dead wife? Because he had kept with him that photo of her.
That caused him to shoot her.
And he even asked that it be placed in his coffin with him upon burial.
God. Weird guy.
Yeah, very weird guy. So, I was so angry reading all of the people, and it's very odd too, because like I've said, and I broke the race ice here, mm-hmm. Black people were not treated well.
Oh,
so for them to speak of him in this way is so bizarre anyway, but the fact that he's a murderer and they're speaking of him this way, like
I don't care what color you are, when you kill your wife like that,
yeah.
No.
No.
You're trash.
Yeah. But it's such a bizarre case to me, and that's why all of this stuff stuck out, and it's all centered on race, but I couldn't get past it. I couldn't get past the fact that they were talking so highly of this murderer.
Like, I wonder what they argued about so much.
I don't know.
That made them separate.
I don't know. It does seem like there's some kind of trend of her taking care of him rather than the opposite way. And who knows? We have to have some kind of grace and think that as a person of color, maybe a man of color, maybe it was difficult for him to find work. Mm-hmm. Maybe her being a housekeeper was the only kind of income they could get. But
like gambling away or drinking it away.
Exactly. Yeah. What you're doing with the money is the problem. So there's, you know, I try to have a little grace, but then I think, no, he's making horrible decisions with the money. And so there's something else going on there. And it sounds like
she tried. Like, does. She's still trying, but then he's just not helping the situation. Yeah. As she's trying to stay in the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just took great offense to the fact that he was praised so much for how brave he was in facing death. I mean, I don't know. I think he's a coward. He shot her in the back as she was running away.
Already shot.
Yeah.
In the leg. What a story.
I know. It's crappy, isn't it?
It is. You always find crappy stories.
I know. I'm good at that. No, I found this story and it was like, here's the picture of this woman killed for this picture. And I was like, what? And then, read into it and was like, dude, this is crazy.
Are we going to post a picture?
Yeah.
I mean, am I going to post a picture?
If you don't see it by Wednesday, send me a message.
It's Shayla's fault.
I mean, she's a gorgeous woman. I understand. Not one to lose her, but you lost her. Like,
give her the picture, dude. Don't kill her. Just give her the picture.
And that's just it. You know, setting for a photograph was a big deal then. So it could be, like you said, that's the only photograph she has of herself. And I mean, think about a young woman. I don't know how old she was. I didn't see it. But think about a young woman who has a picture of herself and she feels
all
beautiful.
Dressed up. Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't she want that?
Right.
Yeah, so it just sucks. It sucks badly.
For sure.
But I don't believe his defense at all, because I think he got a gun with clear intention.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He lured her out. Speaks to the intention even more. Mm-hmm. Like, he planned on killing her that day. And he did.
Even the place that she worked at, the lady there, Callie knew something was up. Yeah. So,
well, she had heard him make threats on her life and was like, don't go, please don't go. And then she comes back full of bullets and she's like, told you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I told you not to go, woman.
Yeah. How heartbreaking.
For sure.
Yeah. And then his younger brother.
It's like, dude, what the?
Was just like brought into it. I'm surprised that he wasn't charged with something.
Yeah, but he helped her back to the residence and such.
That's what I mean. If it hadn't been for some upstanding policeman, he probably would have in those days. So it's good to know that that at least he was spoken for, and we knew that he was helping and a good guy. And he didn't know that there was that this was all a made-up lie either. I mean, he was just brought into it too, so...
He was used.
Sad. So.
Yas.
We had an updated review.
We did. By Movie Girl.
Yeah. And I loved it. Here's why I loved it. Because she left a really nice review the first time. And then she came back and said, hey, I updated my review after listening to all the episodes, which, great. And she said she loves the show now, and she complimented on the research, and that's a huge compliment, because of how much work all of this takes. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. Let us know who you are.
For sure. Email us or message us and we will definitely get you a sticker and answer you for sure.
Yes. We appreciate you doing that. And especially the fact that you came back after listening and said something even more kind. And you could, I mean, you can email us. Let us know what your favorite episodes are, stuff like that. And join us for a live sometime.
For sure.
Because those are fun. I think you'll enjoy those. I think we're going to have to schedule another live. I will probably get that out ready on Facebook this week. We'll look at our schedules and see what we're looking at. And I think what we're going to do, if I have the time, I've promised my father, if I have the time, I will get videos from the investigation of his house in Chattanooga ready for us to look at and talk about and discuss.
He's been on you about those for a long time.
Yes. I haven't had the chance to one cut the videos because they're super long videos, and and I just want to like pick out little pieces that were interesting so that we don't have to sit through half an hour and then talk about it for 10 minutes and we're done with the live. But I also wanted to have a chance to do some research on the home and the area, and with everything going on, I just haven't had time to do that, because if I were able to find some, there's some very specific things mentioned, and if I were able to find some kind of articles that would back some of that up, that would be amazing. So I really would like to do that and be able to speak to it. If I cannot get that ready, sorry, Dad, we're going to do some paranormal videos. So we're just going to look at some like trending videos or videos that have went viral of paranormal activity of some kind. And we're just going to talk about those and what you think, what we think, how terrified are we? That'll be fun.
I love interacting with everybody.
Yeah. And I think that something like that we have really gotten into because we've done some true crime on the lives, and we've really gotten into a lot of back and forth, great discussion. And so when racking our brains on like, what could we do as far as the paranormal, instead of saying, here's a video of us doing it, here's what we think, and getting a few comments. If we have some videos that are not ours, that are just out there crazy, like what's going on, that's going to give us a lot more discussion.
For sure.
So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited to do that. So interesting. January's gone.
What? Already?
I know. It seemed like it was 6 months long, but now it's like, whoa, God, we're already into February.
First weekend of February. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
You shook your head no at me.
Well, because I was like, no, this comes out on the second week of February, but no, weekend. Got it.
Slow your roll.
Yeah, I'm slowed. Anyway.
Which means next weekend is Valentine's weekend. Ooh la la.
It is Valentine's weekend. Oh, I haven't changed the calendar up here.
Yeah, that's why you keep looking at January?
I don't know. Yeah, Valentine's. We should do something fun. Anything good? No.
Typical. I already got yours.
Yeah, I know.
I love you. Oh. I just called you out on air, by the way.
Uh-huh. It happens all the time. It's fine. It's fine.
Anyway.
I'll buy you a soda pop.
What? No. I don't even drink soda that much.
I know. It'll be a treat.
Oh, thanks. Love you, too. No, you don't have to give me nothing. You know that. Why'd you cuss?
Because I have to figure out what to get you for Valentine's Day.
God.
I love you. I love you. So anyway, what do we have going on this next week? We are going to do a ghosty story on next week's episode.
We are?
Yeah, we are. Woo! That was my ghosty.
I don't know what that was. Do you have an idea what it is?
Yeah.
Yay!
And then, we'll, you know, continue on. I think the next week will probably be live. So that'll be fun. Everybody wants me to do a full new episode live, dude. That's so scary.
Yeah, but I think it'd be great. I think we should do the one that we talked about doing.
Okay.
Because I know you said you'll get emotional, but
yeah,
they, our listeners wants to see that.
All right. Well, I'll start putting that one together. We'll do that live. And then, so my plan is we'll just do that live and then we'll record it as a podcast episode. We'll just rip the audio from it. I hate it when podcasters do that. So if I listen to it and I'm like, no, this makes no sense if you're not there, then we'll just re-record it as an episode.
I like it.
I get so crazy when I listen to other podcasts. It's like, oh, this is for a live event. And it's like, but I wasn't there. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's all right. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. It's fine. Anyway, I think we're going to wrap this one up, guys. It's a little bit of a short episode, but I thought there was a lot in it. So just live with that for a little while and see what you think.
Sorry, I had to throw it in there.
Yeah, we're going to go cook a lot of bad food.
Ugh, gym's going to suck next week.
And eat a little bit of it. And then
probably a whole lot of it.
But it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. And we will see you on the live next, and we will talk to you on the episode next week. Have a fantastic week. If you're getting vaccinated, take care of yourself. Plan for the next day off. And rest, honey. That's all you need is rest. Have a great week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. No super spreaders. We love you so much.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.